masked savior.
Oh, the savior of mankind, please show us a sign.
To the designer of the human civilization that is established on the unity of Almighty Allah. To the redeemer of human volition and thought.
Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. Assalamu alaikum, dear listeners of IRIB English Radio. Welcome back to a new episode of your very favorite program, The Last Savior. Well, I'm Asma. I have the honor to be your host once more. And today we have the honor to be with Dr. Alavian, the backbone of The Last Savior. And you already know, everybody who's been listening to this program knows that you're an Islamic researcher, and we're here to get some more of insights from you. Assalamu alaikum, brother, and welcome.
Wa alaikum assalam wa rahmatullah. Thank you very much for inviting me to your show. It's a great pleasure to be here.
It's all the same. So you know that in this program, we talk about the insights related to the last savior, the promised imam, and the time of his reappearance. And this is a very important thing to notice, that there are a lot of things that has to be paved for the time of reappearance. Now, in today's world, I guess everything has been pretty much more clarified. Like today, in this world in which everybody, every country, every nation technically is threatened by missiles and wars, and these people who count themselves as the superpowers of the world, and there are oppressed people, we're getting closer to that idea of longing for that one person who comes as the last savior, who would come and bring a prosperity to the world and bring justice. Most importantly, justice is going to be flourished. And since we are in this month of Muharram, there's always this debate and this discussion, let's say, about the messages and the connections that would be between the things that we learned from the school of Imam Hussein alayhi salam, and also the things that would be actually coming in the future by the reappearance of Imam Mahdi ajalallah farajah. And we want to talk about this connection and this link that exists between these two things.
It's quite true that there must be a connection, a sort of relation between what we have seen in the live event or the live and beautiful and at the same time tragic event of Ashura, or what happened in Karbala with the advent of Imam Mahdi alayhi salam and his revolution and his uprising, or the Mahdavi utopia that we are after. In order to understand this connection and this link between this source and this future, we need to know about the necessities of the religion of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So how is this religion formed, and how is it going to get materialized in existence? Certainly, if we want to focus on such a link, we need to a little bit go back and see about the origin of this religion, which has come through the Ba'tha, or appointment of the Holy Prophet. What we call it, Ba'tha of the Holy Prophet. And that in this triangle, we have, let's say, the head of this triangle is Ba'tha, or appointment of the Holy Prophet, and revelation of the religion. I mean, through, let's say, a person that is going to be transferred, that is the Holy Prophet. We have a revelation level, and then it comes to the continuation of this religion. Who is going to continue this religion? It goes through imams. But the manifestation and materialization of this religion is supposed to be with Imam Mahdi alayhi salam. So we see that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has devised a very professional plan in order to have his own religion get materialized. So it starts from a revelation or a transfer of message from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala through his prophet, and then continuation of this message through imams after him. And then at the end of the time, based on Allah's promise, that says that verily Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will put the poor ones as the inheritors of the earth.
Yeah.
So it should be by Imam Mahdi alayhi salam. So definitely there are some connections, very close connections between these two. So in order to understand what happened in Ashura or in Karbala, So we need to take some lessons from that to see if those lessons are going to show themselves in at the time of advent of Imam, what we call it technically as dhuhur of Imam alayhi salam, or not. So these lessons actually can help us that we can actually compare between the goals and the lessons that we have seen already there and the lessons that we are expecting. So based on what are we going to judge? Based on the narrations, whatever we have received from Al-Quran, the book and the sunnah, the conduct of the Ahlul Bayt, the conduct actually including the words and saying sermons, statements, or whatsoever we have received from Ahlul Bayt.
Yeah, so just to set the ground for our discussion, let's clarify everything. Let's have it just straight. The past that we're talking about, that is the lessons of Ashura, goes like this. Comes from this story that there were a group of people who were oppressed, and then they've been tragically martyred. And then there were lessons. We know that in our school of thought, whenever you fight against an oppressor, there is no defeat for it. Like, even the martyrs are not going to be defeated. Like, when they die, they're not dead. Mm-hmm. Maybe they're going to get even activer than past. So we go for a break, and then we come back to see what's the relation between these two, the past and the future that we're expecting. مهديون في الأزمان شع ضيه ربنا في العالمين أضفع له نور أليق والظالم ابتده من أجل السالكين أهدى سنه مهديون في الأزمان شع ضيه ربنا في العالمين أضفع له نور أليق والظالم ابتده من أجل السالكين أهدى سنه. In the heart of every longing soul, there is a name, and that name is the last savior, Imam Mahdi Ajalallah Farja, who would come, and with his reappearance, everything is just going to be brought back into the reset factory, like the way we put it in today's world language. So justice is going to be flourished, and this is a longing. Before we go for the break, we talked about the lessons of Ashura that we are expecting in the future, in the time of Imam Mahdi Ajalallah Farja, we are going to be expecting them as well.
We need to have a look at the messages that we receive from the first round, that is from Ashura, and then see if we can expect such a thing in the next one or not. So based on the will of Imam Hussein alayhi salam that has been sent to his brother, he mentions that I have started this revolution with the purpose of establishment of an Islamic government or Islamic state. So Imam...
To revive the religion of his
I'll get back to that, inshallah, because that is about the reforms that Imam alayhi salam is talking about. But first is the establishment. I want to say that this was not just Imam Hussein alayhi salam's will and objective in his life as an imam, or as, let's say, a person who has been appointed by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Appointed not in the sense that the prophets are appointed. No, appointed by, earlier imams, earlier prophets. So as we see, even earlier prophets had their own, prophets who came after them, and they introduced them. And there were some successes for them, as there were some nuqaba for Musa alayhi salam, and there were some hawariyun for Isa alayhi salam.
Yeah.
So these people were actually preaching the religion that has been whatever, or has been introduced by that prophet.
It's like the torch. It should not fade away.
Definitely. So establishment, or what we call it technically iqama, is something which was quite common between all the divine prophets or divine messengers from Adam alayhi salam till today. So it is a key objective among all of these messengers of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Iqama. Iqama means establishment of a divine government. To govern people, to govern over the people with Allah's rules and Allah's instructions. So this was the first. And second was fighting with taghuts and arrogance. Whatever we love, it means that there is something that we dislike in front of it, right?
Yeah.
So whatever we love is divine government. So whatever stands in front of it, we have to fight it. So Imam Ali Salam says in the second, actually, objective or second goal of this government, this movement that Imam Ali Salam started, is what? Fighting Taghut and fighting arrogance of the time. Whoever stands in front of this right front of the right front on the scene of the earth. Slowly, we go to other messages that we receive from the statements of Imam Ali Salam. He says that in order to make reforms in the Ummah, in the nation of my grandfather, the Ummah of the Holy Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, Imam says that he did not start this movement out of being full, we take refuge to God, or being to be, let's say, tyrant ruler. No, yeah. I came to do reforms.
There was no ambition for ruling.
Yeah, there was no ambition for ruling, but it was also, it was just a mission from Allah's side on that. He felt that this religion is getting out of the right path. So he came to make some reforms in order to bring it back to righthood, to the righteousness, or to the right path. And today, and in our era, even we see that there are some changes needed, or reforms are needed in different fields, like, for example, in the concept of hijab, the concept of music, or ghina, what we have. I mean, technical issues that actually we are usually afflicted with. Or in the issues related to banking and our financial relations.
So in past, maybe, these things were not tangible for us. Exactly. But in today's world, we just understand, what does it mean to reform?
Exactly. So the reform in these issues and these things that we see just a sort of deviation from whatever Islam and Islamic teachings has brought us. So these actual deviations needed to be cracked, to be reformed.
Yeah.
I mean, by whom? By
to a person who has this track.
Who has this liability. In some of other statements of Imam Ali Salam, we see that Imam actually mentions about his objective of reviving the concept of Amr bin Ma'ruf and Nahi anil Munkar, that enjoining to good and refraining from bad. That is, whatever is good should be praised, should be actually strengthened, and whatever is bad should be stopped. I mean, this is an Islamic culture, that we know it. If we see a sort of mistake from a person, whoever this person might be, even he's, I mean, the mayor or the governor or a responsible person, we have to actually give him some actually notes that he's doing it wrongly. And whoever does something good, we have to strengthen and praise it. I mean, we have to praise him or her for whatever he has done or she has done. So this is the exact method of early imams as well. Imam Ali alayhi salam did so in the markets and the bazaars of Kufa. Other imams like Imam Hassan alayhi salam, the same way that they did. And the Holy Prophet, I mean, he corrected whatever was wrong in the society in order to reach to that city-state that actually he devised in Medina. He did lots of Amr bin Ma'ruf and Nahi anil Munkar. How is hypocrisy is working today for the Islamic Ummah? Lots of, Muslim countries claim that they are Muslim, but at the same time, they have their own relation with the killers of the Muslims.
They're listening to the voice of the oppressed people of Palestine.
But what are they doing?
Nothing.
I mean, if, for example, we see that a group of Muslims, let's say, I mean, the Yemenis, are paralyzing the economy of the usurper regime, but they compensate through land roads in order to compensate for that economy to get revived, you see? So we see hypocrisy, that you see that Muslims, I mean, your brothers or sisters in faith, are being killed, massacred, and genocide is happening. Mm-hmm. Then you're still silent, and not only silent, you just help the oppressor. The same way that he did, Imam Hussein alayhi salam, the Imam Mahdi will come to disclose this hypocrisy and to tell
to
the
revive
whole,
the religion, actually.
Exactly.
Because many of these countries claim to be Muslims, but what they're doing, they're just doing nothing. So
in Islam, everything is based on covering the faults and mistakes of people. But when it goes with, with a higher level, that the rights of some of the people are violated, the rights are ignored. So there is no actually
no kindness.
There is
no
kindness
covering.
Such thing. And no covering is accepted. The same way that Imam Ali Salam stood and actually introduced Abdullah ibn Zubayr in that time.
There's a lot more of detail that we have to talk about regarding this issue, because the lessons of Ashura are ongoing, like they're living every day and we are living with them. Mm-hmm. And we are actually left to choose. There's always like that, like the narrations of Ahlul Bayt alayhi salam. Every day is Ashura and every land is Karbala. So we are always left in this situation of choosing which side we have to pick and which side we are going to pick. So this was all for today. Thank you, dear listeners, for staying with us. This was all for today. I hope you've just enjoyed it. Until another session, wassalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. Where is the rising sun? Where is